Today is Peace Officers Memorial Day. This is the day set aside to honor the line of duty deaths. We have begun over the last couple of years to start talking as well about deaths of law enforcement officers that happened at their own hands. Suicide in the profession, unfortunately, is a very real problem. It's a difficult job on the best day, and it is a really difficult job, an exceptionally difficult job on some of the other days. What I can tell you, and I share this with you, one of the reasons that I have been a volunteer police peer counselor for so long is that one of my old partners shot himself. And it was a very bizarre situation. We worked together in the city. And he then went and he got a job in a suburban police department. Really well-regarded suburban police department. With all of his background in the city, we knew he'd be a great cop. They knew he'd be a great cop. They didn't have to invest a huge amount of money, as an example, because, well, he'd already been through the training, right? Most places now across the country, once you've done your police academy training, you get some sort of a certification or some sort of a number. In Pennsylvania, we called it the Municipal Police Officers Education Training Commission. And then that was it. It was like, okay, well, we can save this money. Here in our beloved Commonwealth, we've got DCJS. So it saves some money. That can be a bad thing, right? If you're an agency that's gone out and recruited, you've got some of the best, you've devoted that time, that money, and then they say, by the way, thanks, got a better offer, more money. It happens. So my partner got an offer. He was out. He wanted to do that. I think he, after his time in the city, and he had been on the job a long time, was like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. This is not where I want to be. I want to go and do something else. So he got a great job. Money was far better. Benefits were far better. Everything, at least on paper, was just really, really better. It was not nearly as active as it was in the city, but it wasn't so quiet that he would be bored. But there were other issues at work that none of us really knew about. And he wound up making a radio call. And he told the dispatcher, hey, I'm at such and such a building, some sort of a commercial building. Says, and I'm in the back, and this door is open. I think there might be somebody breaking in. And he said, I'm going to go in. I don't know that the dispatcher said, hey, wait for somebody else to come. Because they had in that township, they had one guy patrol cars. No idea where back. I mean, I just don't know anything about that department. But he went in. And he got in there, and then a few moments later, keys the mic again and says, hey, there is somebody in here. And then a few moments later, calls and says, I've been shot. Well, what happens everywhere if you have an officer down? It's all hands on deck. You fundamentally have to try and just drop whatever you're doing and get there. And that's what happened in that area. Everybody from that department, that township, they were all there. And I don't know how many guys they had on the street. It was a pretty good sizable agency. I don't know, 100, 150 officers, something like that. And then surrounding areas, because it then went out in a countywide notification for, it's called Bucks County. It's just north of the city. And so there were just there were a million guys that were showing up to find out because my old partner had reported he had been shot. And sure enough, he had been shot. he was alive, but he had been shot. But it was really weird where he had been shot. He was shot kind of on his side towards the back, like somebody was behind him, maybe. And I think that's what everybody thought at first. Oh, whoever had broken in kind of was creeping around and crept up on him and shot him. He was probably turning because look where the bullet hit. Well, they got him to the hospital, and they said, you're going to survive. Now, did you get a description of the perp? Yep. And he described the shooter. Would it surprise you? Would it shock you to know that when everybody started looking at the artist's sketch, it looked exactly like him? He had a lot of issues that he needed to deal with. This is the only way he knew to ask for help. Now, it did a lot of things. It fundamentally ended his law enforcement career. Cost him what would have been his pension. He wound up being charged criminally and going to prison for it. Now, I don't know what the right thing would have been to do. I mean, you got to be held accountable. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just telling you, there were signs along the way that at that day and time, late 80s, early 90s, we just all sort of walked past and ignored. And so that's why to this day, even though I haven't worn a uniform or pushed a car around in decades, I still volunteer every chance I get in terms of peer counseling and support for law enforcement. I'm trying to get the schedule together because here in Virginia, how fortunate are we? DCJS actually has an approved peer counselor program. And I got the approval to go through it. Now I just have to work it out schedule-wise. But it's just something to think about because today, Peace Officers Memorial Day, we always talk about line-of-duty deaths. And most of us think, okay, somebody got shot by a bad guy or somebody got hit by a car. But there are plenty of folks who have turned their own firearm on themselves because they weren't capable, they weren't equipped to deal with the pressures of the job. And I'm certainly at the point where I see them as a line of duty death as well. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.